Nobody does it better than Regent Seven Seas Cruises. Enjoy all-inclusive, unrivaled luxury with unlimited shore excursions, indulgent cuisine, personalized service, and more aboard spacious all-suite ships. Visit rssc.com to experience the unrivaled.
Welcome back to another episode of the Mac Rumors Show. Hartley, good afternoon. We have some huge news, it seems, in terms of those who appreciate Siri getting better and being a chatbot. What do you think?
I think this seems like a pretty big week for Apple intelligence news. This is coming from a variety of some of the most reliable sources out there. And this really suggests that everything is changing, most definitely for the better.
Yeah, I agree. Let's just jump right in. And for those who don't know what exactly is happening, obviously we will lay it all out there. But the big news is that Siri, after much of Apple kind of pushing back on this for a while, I mean, obviously last week we talked about Google Gemini powering, you know, the upcoming version in 26.4, correct? But now it looks like it's actually going to be turning into a chatbot, which you and I agree is what Apple needs to do. Like, I use ChatGPT for its chatbot. That's what I want. I want the ability to interact and save those conversations and be able to go back and look at what we have. And it, I just find it more useful. So, number one, were you shocked when you saw this news? Are you excited for this?
I think it was an inevitability that things would move in this direction eventually. But I wasn't expecting it quite so soon. I think it's a good thing, really, because we've complained so much about how behind Apple has been for 18 months at this point. And I think this week's news is the first time I finally felt like, okay, they're actually catching up here. Unfortunately, they're not catching up with their own technology, which is a little bit of a shame. And I'm not sure that's great for competition, because this ultimately will be powered by Gemini. But Apple is going to build this out in its own ways, integrate it uniquely with its own device ecosystem. And that should lead to some pretty interesting things. So Apple is talking about, or rather this report suggests that Apple is talking about plugging it into apps very deeply, being able to do things like change on-device settings, understand what is open on your device, what windows you have open, and actually be able to manipulate those. So this suggests that even the chatbot will be able to interact very richly and very deeply in a way that you just can't do that right now with something like ChatGPT or Gemini on any of our devices.
Right. That's what I was going to say. It's just like, okay, so they might not have, they might not even catch up to, you know, or obviously overtake, you know, Claude and OpenAI and obviously Google, because they're partnering. But like you mentioned, they can take what's already really good. And then they have the biggest advantage in that a lot of people use their devices. A lot of people are in that ecosystem. So they can take what's already there and make it unique to those who use those devices. Because it's not like these platforms are limited towards, obviously with Google, you can get it on a Pixel. It's very heavily integrated in that. So we're going to see kind of what Apple can do in that end. And then they can, you know, kind of continue from there. What I want to start with real quick, though, before we get into, because it's kind of like a timeline thing. So obviously we're expecting 26.4. We will not be getting the chatbot then. That is for what's rumored apparently to be in iOS 27, which isn't that far away. So this gets me excited. Usually when we talk about this stuff, how often am I just getting mad? Because I'm like, oh, it's 2029. Like, I don't want to wait for that. Why are we even talking about it? 27, while it won't be officially released, I imagine if this actually does come in beta one, there's going to be a lot more people signing up for that developer preview or the public beta. So really, we should see it in less than 6 months, which would be crazy if this actually is going to hold up with the rumors. But what we're expecting right now is what we got last week, was the partnership with Google Gemini and Apple Intelligence, kind of the next generation of Siri being powered by that, and what it could bring to the rumored Home Hub. And one of the things that I wanted to bring up real quick was one of the rumors on the Home Hub that we got, I think it was yesterday.
Yeah, that's right.
And that's the robotic swiveling base. Now, there's a little bit of back and forth here. I don't know what to do. I guess pick your favorite leaker or, you know, reporter and tell me which one you want to side with. But the information's Wayne Ma, who you have told me has an excellent track record, which I agree. He has basically said that the robotic swiveling base could come with this version, which I wasn't expecting. And I don't know if you were expecting that. I was kind of expecting a standalone dock, maybe detachable base, you know, kind of thing. But it looks like we could get that whole thing coming. But then we got Bloomberg's Mark Gurman actually replying to our own tweet from yesterday saying, no, that's not true. That's not happening right now. Which is it? What do you believe?
It's hard to say. I mean, this sort of tabletop home hub device has been in the pipeline for a really long time. I mean, we were anticipating it originally, I believe, in March of last year. And the reason for the delay was not actually anything to do with the hardware. It's just because it was so reliant on Apple Intelligence, which wasn't ready, that there was no point releasing that hardware. So as a result, a lot of these, a lot of references to this device have been spotted in Apple's software, and we have seen references to two versions of it, which lines up with what Mark Gurman has said, that there would be like a wall mount version, I suppose, the basic version of the device, and then a sort of tabletop version that has this speaker base type attachment. And whether that's one device and then you have two different mounting systems, or it's actually two different units out of the box, is not entirely clear. But it is essentially the same device. So that would suggest to me that probably Mark Gurman is more along the right lines. But I think what Wayne Maher is saying here is also pretty notable, because we know that Apple is very interested in robotics going forward. A lot of the big tech companies are right now. That is the kind of bet that these companies seem to be making for what will be next after AI. And Apple's sort of major move into robotics is expected to come in the form of a high-end version of this smart home device on a fully sort of articulated arm. It's been described internally as the Pixar lamp, because it's got these multiple points of articulation and kind of follows you around the room. And that's a lot more complex use of robotics. This would be a lot simpler. This would just be a rotation, which would be useful. Say you put it on your kitchen countertop, it would follow you around with that front-facing camera and always be facing in the right direction. I think that makes a lot of sense. And I could see Apple doing it, especially if that is something that the high-end version is going to implement in a much more expressive and comprehensive way. It would make sense for the first version to have some kind of motorization in there and to stand out a little bit from competing devices from Google and Amazon right now. So I wouldn't want to hedge my bets either way. I think there is a lot of truth to what both of these reporters are saying.
Yeah, I kind of feel like it's not going to be in this upcoming version. I would love it to be, because that would be the most interesting one. And I kind of wonder if it's, you know, I also really hope that this is just the same device that you can buy different mounting units for, and not you have to buy different versions of, although Apple would probably appreciate that and be like, well, you're going to put it in different parts of your house anyway, so why not have multiple? I don't know. I just feel like it would be nice to be able to have that flexibility without dropping. I don't even remember how much the rumored price tag is for this, but can't imagine they're going to be super cheap. And also this report is interesting because it came out, and we don't have to fully dive into this, but I feel like we do need to mention that not only did Wayne Ma mention this, but it's also in an upcoming AirTag-sized AI pin with dual cameras. I mean, it's all along the same lines, but like, where did this come from? Have you put this on your card for this year? I mean, it's not going to be this year, but maybe. Yeah,
I was not expecting this. It makes sense because it's all in this sort of same family of news related to Apple's new AI strategy. It's pretty clear here that there has been a step change, and now we are getting a fuller picture of where Apple sees things going. And ostensibly, it seems to be to fall in line with what other companies are doing. Initially, I think with Apple Intelligence, they were hoping to do something quite different, develop its own models, very invested in things like private cloud compute, image playground, all of these things that we were told about, writing tools. Yeah. And now it seems to have basically admitted to itself that that's not working. And it needs to go in the direction of putting cameras on things and AI pins and adopting third-party models. And just falling in line with what people seem to want. The interesting thing about an AI pin, of course, is that people don't really seem to want that.
That's what I was going to say. How many people actually want an AI pin?
The most famous version of this was Humane's product, which, of course, was pretty short-lived and pretty disappointing and didn't go anywhere. Now, if Apple was to introduce such a product, maybe that would have the support and the ecosystem to actually get somewhere. But I don't know. In some respects, I find it quite believable, because if this is an accessory style product, it's not that expensive. It complements your other devices. And even with things like AirPods going to be adopting cameras later this year for gesture controls. And then we've got things in the pipeline like next generation smart glasses, which presumably will also have some kind of gesture controls. Mm-hmm. We're moving toward a world with a lot more cameras and a lot more wearables in general, and with AI becoming more of an ambient thing. But in order for it to be ambient, you need to have it on multiple devices. So whether you, even if you've got your AirPods off, you can still invoke that AI, even if you don't have your Apple Watch on, perhaps. And maybe the heart rate sensors in the AirPods Pro were a little bit of a recognition of the fact that not everyone has their Apple Watch on 100% of the time. So
yeah,
I kind of can believe it, but at the same time, this could be just one of these products that Apple is using internally to test the utility of something like a next generation version of visual intelligence, and actually is never intended to launch. But mm-hmm. I think it would be pretty interesting with other companies like OpenAI coming out with new form factors for voice-powered AI primarily. And meanwhile, we've got these reports about a next-generation version of Siri coming as soon as this year that is conversational in nature. If I could have Siri on a pin and understand what I'm seeing, and I could feed that information back to my iPhone or grab a picture of something with that and have it show up in my iPhone's Photos app, I would probably buy one if it was, I don't know, $200. Why not?
You would buy one anyways.
There
are some pins that I feel like are kind of popular. Like we saw a bunch at CES. How many? I mean, they don't have cameras, but they definitely go around your neck. They have microphones. They're more so utilities for like meetings and just everyday interactions where you don't really need to. I mean, this kind of sounds bad, but I feel like people are going to start paying attention a lot less because, well, they could just, fall back to the pin and look on their phones and be like, oh, that's the conversation that we had. Hopefully it's more so a utility for those who are like, oh, I had, something and I completely forgot what it was. Let me go back and remember. And that kind of stuff's completely useful and it makes sense. But when you start adding cameras into the mix, obviously, people do not enjoy the constant, parade of cameras being thrown on every device. The amount of comments I get on the Apple TV rumors where there were, thoughts of having a camera, which was going to be used for FaceTime, which people do like that feature, but complain that they have to go and put their phone on there. Well, then Apple has an idea of potentially, getting rid of that. And they're like, well, I don't want that camera around all the time. I can't imagine they're going to want a bunch on their face, on their neck. I don't know. It seems interesting to me. And at the end of the article, we kind of mentioned that, the information cautions the development that this is in early stages and could be canceled, but could also be here by next year. Just seems like a lot of, unknowns in that regard. So I don't know if I could see this coming to fruition, but it would be interesting.
The thing is with this device is it does seem like the sort of thing that Apple could turn around relatively quickly. It doesn't seem like there would be a huge amount of hardware development for this product compared to something else, because it's already bringing very small cameras to products like AirPods. Mm-hmm. And this does not have a display. It already has the wireless charging technology developed for things like the Apple Watch, which reportedly this pin would use. Everything's kind of there. And if it's just going to run this next generation version of Siri, the pieces are there. I could see this launching within 18 months if they wanted to do that. And I don't know whether Apple will move in this direction, but I think that with AI becoming a more ambient thing that we're just sort of more aware of that we can access, that does sort of demand different form factors, because up until today, pretty much the smartphone has been everything because it's been so good at doing whatever it is that you need to do. But as we start to break away from the phone a little bit more and rely on things like voice, we don't necessarily always need to be reaching for a screen where we're tapping through these UI elements. We may get to a situation where calling for an Uber is just as simple as just saying to your AI assistant, call me an Uber. And if that's the case, I don't need to get my phone out of my pocket. And maybe having a little AI pin with just a button that I can just say that is the most convenient thing to do, because it would be faster than unlocking my phone. And it all depends on how fast it actually is. But I don't know. It's hard to say.
Yeah, there's definitely going to be extremely useful, you know, use cases for it, obviously. Otherwise, Apple probably wouldn't be doing this. But yeah, it'll be interesting to see. And, you know, it all ties into the chatbot, which we will get into in just a second. But before we do that, let's get a quick word in from today's sponsor. 2026 just feels different. There's something about a new year that makes you look at the idea you've been sitting on and think, you know what, this year is finally the year to do it. You got the skills, your ideas, your side hustles, you know this could be something real. And the hard part is not dreaming, it's taking the first step. In January, short, you don't want February to roll around with the same old story. So let's make 2026 the year you finally start your own business. And the easiest way to do that is with Shopify. Shopify gives you everything you need to sell online and in person, all in one place. Millions of entrepreneurs have already made this leap, from massive household brands to first-time business owners just getting started. If you've ever imagined your own store, Shopify makes it easy to bring to life with hundreds of beautiful templates you can customize to match your brand. Setup is super fast, thanks to Shopify's built-in AI tools that help you write product descriptions and headlines and even assist with editing product photos. Marketing is just built right in, so you can create email and social campaigns that reach customers wherever they scroll. And as your business grows, Shopify grows with you, handling more orders, expanding into new markets, all from the same dashboard. In 2026, stop waiting and start selling with Shopify. Sign up for your $1 per month trial and start selling today at shopify.com/Mac. Go to shopify.com/Mac. That's shopify.com/Mac. Hear your first this new year with Shopify by your side.
All right. So the chatbot, obviously this is meant to rival, you know, Anthropic's Claude, Google Gemini, which weirdly is going to be powered by OpenAI's. We got ChatGPT with that, obviously, which is what I use, but would definitely make an immediate switch considering that all my devices would be running what is now codenamed Campos, which is interesting. And so, yeah, the latest news is that a Siri chatbot will be integrated into iOS 27, iPadOS 27, macOS 27, et cetera, and it will replace the current version of Siri and have the old natural language conversational functionality that we have been wanting and know and love. So super excited about this. How do you imagine this is going to look?
I don't know. I mean, it seems to work pretty well, just as chat style bubbles, just messages.
Yeah.
I mean, look to something like iMessage maybe for what it's going to look like with Siri glowy colors.
Sorry, I don't understand.
There we go.
Oh, Siri. Give it a rest.
So I think that probably Apple is not going to do anything really radical here in terms of our interaction. I mean, we did hear rumors going back, must have been about 6 months now, that Apple was looking into giving Siri more personality and giving Siri a kind of face that when you're using it on something like that. That was what people speculated. Yeah. So maybe we're looking at a new Siri UI where there are these two options. I mean, that wouldn't be entirely dissimilar from something like what it was like to use ChatGPT's voice mode going back a couple of months before you could see voice responses in line. You just kind of had that pulsating circle and globe. And then you had obviously the message style UI for when you're having a true sort of typed chat conversation. Maybe Apple will have some sort of adaptation of that, but I hope it's fun. I hope it's fresh and new. I think it's just fascinating that Apple's going in this direction because it's so different from what they wanted to do. And there was one detail buried in this report, which I don't know if you've seen this because it was kind of tucked away there, that it looks like the kind of 180 here is so comprehensive that they might even pretty much ditch private cloud compute. So
I did not see that.
What supposedly will happen is that the demands of a model this big using Gemini's technology, Apple doesn't have enough servers for it. So apparently it will just use Google's servers. And at that point, it's not running on Apple Silicon in some little closed off private cloud compute environment. This would just be using the exact same servers with Tensor hardware that Google actually uses for Gemini itself. So it would be an Apple system built around a Gemini model running on Google hardware, sending information back to Apple devices. So it's a very kind of interlinked system between the two devices, but it's so different from when Apple showed off Apple Intelligence and it said, right, our vision for Apple Intelligence is something that partly runs on device and partly runs securely in the cloud. And now it's going to just be, yeah, this just runs on Google servers. So I don't know how they're going to quite manage explaining that, or I'm sure they'll tell us it's private and that Google, I imagine what they'll say is that Google servers meet the standards of what private cloud compute is built to and works in similar environments that are audited by Apple and whatever. But essentially all the reasons that they told us private cloud compute were good could be pretty much kind of twisting a little bit into something else.
I wonder if this would separate a bit then. You think Apple would make it more of like a, okay, everything that you do when you ask for a request kind of thing, that's still private cloud. But if you start to go into like the chatbot style stuff and you're asking things that we can't do, then it's maybe not every single time it's going to prompt you, but maybe that's like an opt-in thing. Like if you want to use the chatbot, you're going to need to opt in ahead of time and understand, you know.
I imagine there will be a lot of opt-in. I mean, Apple certainly seems to make you very aware when you're using ChatGPT and Siri right now to the point of irritation,
right,
as we talked
every
about.
Every time.
But I think that the approach here that's been outlined, and we had another report from the Information Today laying some of this out, yet another one focusing on what is going on with the AI strategy here, is that Apple's kind of looking at three layers is the way I would look at it. When it unveiled Apple Intelligence, it was at the base level local processing. Then at the second level, it would be private cloud compute. I imagine the way that it is going to look going forward is three layers. The first layer being on-device processing, then private cloud compute, and then you have Google servers above that. But long term, what Apple wants to do is kind of collapse these until everything can eventually run on-device. And that may take years, but it wants to kind of compress these models so that the compute demands reduce over time and even the cost of running those servers comes down until eventually you can have something that's far more powerful than Gemini is today that runs locally on your iPhone. And it even mentioned that Apple is looking at acquiring some companies that specifically focus on kind of miniaturizing and compressing these models so that they can run on device, which I think kind of makes sense because this lets Apple deliver these powerful features that consumers expect today, but not be caught wrong-footed in 5 years' time and be totally beholden to Google. And of course, the reason why, I mean, I think that there is an element of misunderstanding as well, and we've kind of jumped on it as a tech community saying, oh, well, the new Siri is just going to be Gemini. But it isn't really going to be Gemini. It's not. You're not getting Gemini replacing Siri. This will still be Siri. This will still be Apple's system. It will still be Apple Intelligence. there'll be nothing about that that says that it is Gemini. It's just they've purchased the rights to Gemini technology, which they will augment in their own ways. They will make changes to that model and will add extra things to that model that Gemini can't do. So it will still be a distinctive experience. And of course, because that's kind of a white label technology that they've bought, they can over time with their own models start instructing the model to channel certain requests to Apple's version rather than Gemini's version until eventually Gemini is used less and less and Apple's models are used more and more. And eventually it doesn't need to use Gemini at all. And maybe that'll take a decade to do that. But I think they've kind of, I think they were just too ambitious ultimately when they started this and thought this should be easy to throw together and have it run on device and then throw some stuff up to the cloud. And you can understand what's on your screen and take actions based on that. It's all pretty straightforward. And it's been pretty shocked at how users actually have very high expectations and how users are not using AI in the way that I think Apple thought it would. So long-term direction of travel is good. I think it was just the starting place that was a little bit off. But this looks like a massive course correction. So I think it's Apple- all good, really.
I think Apple was shocked when they learned that more people are using chatbots because it's a fantastic way to, you know how we Google things when we feel ill and we're trying to figure out? It's a fantastic way to get quick information, make yourself feel better about certain things, vent to somebody. You know how many people use ChatGPT as like a pseudo therapist? Which it's probably good in some way, but also I have to caution you on going full blow on that one. I don't know that I would do that all the way, but like, you know, get some information quickly, just kind of talk to someone. I think that Apple was kind of shocked by this. And now it's like, well, we got to give what people are actually going to use. The other thing that I'm wondering, okay, we obviously know that this next version is going to be powered by Gemini. The general public who's buying iPhones come September knows nothing about the iPhone until they see their first ads for it. It gets launched that day. How many times do you think Apple at a keynote will mention that it's powered by Gemini?
They won't.
Okay, perfect. So no one's going to know this. So it's kind of a brilliant move. The general public will not know or care. They're just going to say, oh, look, Apple made a ChatGPT because that's pretty much the universal, you know, that's the Kleenex of, you know, tissues for that. It's ChatGPT for everything. Chat. People call it chat. Let's call it chat. Okay. So you're basically getting this. You're satiating the needs that everybody wants by making this chatbot, and you're using somebody else's technology that you've purchased the rights to. And like you said, little by little, they're going to make the switch so that it's its own proprietary thing, and eventually we'll dump, and no one's going to know that this happened besides us, the people who do this for a living and the people that are really invested in this. All of you lovely readers and listeners and viewers of the channel and all that will know. But otherwise, yeah, I mean, it's kind of a brilliant move. It's in a way very reminiscent of when Apple could have made a search engine and decided to just use Google instead, except on a much more futuristic, different scale. But I mean, we're kind of just doing the same thing all over again. Why do that when we can just use this for now? And then eventually we'll do that. And there was rumors about eventually Apple still making its own search engine. That could still potentially happen. Maybe it'd be powered by this AI. Who knows?
Well, I think that search engines themselves are kind of... I think their days are numbered, in at least in the way that they work traditionally. I mean, I certainly do not use a conventional search engine anywhere near as much as I used to. I would say that I use it.
Do you use ChatGPT?
Pretty much, yeah. I mean, I will occasionally use Gemini as well, and I flick between different models because they do seem to provide quite different responses. But ChatGPT is very good. And while I would still use a traditional search engine when I'm working, so say if I'm researching something for MacRumors, I want to go to original sources, read them for myself, actually go to the article pages to be able to write up my article. But when it comes to, you know, in my personal life, if I'm looking at travel plans and I want to know how long it's going to take me to get from A to B and then allow some time for this thing, and what do I need to know about this part of the journey and the travel, I'm not throwing that into a search engine because it would not give me the answer to that question in the way that I want. That would have taken five separate inquiries before, whereas now I just throw it all into ChatGPT and it gives me a perfect answer. I mean, may not be totally accurate, but it gives me the answer that I'm basically looking for 90% of the time. And so
that's,
I imagine that this is why we probably will never see a Google-style search engine from Apple, but we do know they're working on this kind of answers app, and they are working on, at least that's, it's an app internally, but they've got the search team that is starting to use LLMs, and they are developing technology that is analogous to the way that ChatGPT can research things online to provide answers. So I imagine that Siri will do this, and gone will be the days of Siri just showing you a list of search results. And it will actually just provide you with those answers, which is essentially the same thing as a search engine. So we will get our Apple search engine, but just not in the way that we expect.
Right. And that's pretty much exactly how I use it too. It's literally personal things I'll throw into ChatGPT if it's something that I can't get an answer for quickly. And then, if I'm on, you know, my computer here and I'm working, it'll be Google. I sometimes fall into the trap of the AI answer at the top. You should not do that. You should go and look at the sources for our sakes and for everyone else who provides that information. It's much more helpful if you go to the actual website.
And I also find that
it's not always correct.
Very accurate. Yeah. I find that is a lot less accurate than using something like ChatGPT or Gemini properly, which actually goes to those pages, reads it, and provides you with a response. I don't know why. I think it's because that version in Google is trying to generate an answer so fast that it seems to make a lot more errors. I've definitely noticed that.
If you click on the AI mode, I think that uses more of Gemini and it does do a better job. But yeah, the summary at the top, you're correct. It's like sometimes that's not always right. And I'm wondering how that is possible. But I guess because of the speed, it just really needs to move quickly and doesn't really care if it's giving you the wrong answer. Okay, so with all of this, though, you have to wonder, is Apple going to charge us for this? Because as you know, there are free versions of all of these, but if you want to take full advantage of everything that it can offer, you need to pay for ChatGPT. I believe it's like $30 a month or something. I don't know what Gemini is. They have a ton of different tiers, I feel like, for all of its AI services. I mean, none of it's free in the other apps. So what would Apple do and what would that pricing structure look like?
I think it's hard to say.
They're all $20 a month. I just looked at it. They're all $20 a month, except for Gemini Advanced. That's $19.99. So you can save that penny.
I imagine. And of course, ChatGPT has just launched its like ad version that's cheaper, but includes ads or something like that.
Good.
And I think with Apple, considering how its reputation has kind of been damaged by not being able to provide AI features, and considering that a lot of people who already use AI services, I mean, they've picked their service. They're already paying for ChatGPT and using it. They don't really have any incentive to change to using Apple's system. So I would imagine that Apple is going to say, oh, well, the first 12 months is free and pricing to be confirmed at a later stage, but it will be for some long period of time. I mean, it's a little bit similar to what they did with satellite connectivity, which to this day, still no one has paid for. But when they introduced that, they said, oh, well, it's, you know, when you buy a device, it's free for, I think it was 12 months. And then after that, it was going to be something like $9.99. They may not even announce pricing.
People are going to pay for that. I can't imagine there's going to be a lot of people paying for that.
No. And that, I mean, that's just never happened. So, and that's that's a whole separate story about why, because they're worried about conflict with telecoms carriers. So that's a little bit different, but it wouldn't surprise me. I imagine that when this happens, they will not charge for it. at least probably for 12 months. And if they do charge for it, I imagine it's not going to be any more than competitors, because the competitors are going to be able to iterate faster than Apple.
I imagine it's going to be one of those things that's just kind of thrown into Apple One too. So you don't even like need to work. Like if you're an Apple One subscriber, it's probably going to be on most of the tiers. So it'll be a non-issue for most of you out there. But yeah, I mean, if you're not an Apple One and you just want, maybe it'll be a under $10, maybe $9.99. Like that could be reasonable, I guess. I don't know. Would you pay $9.99 for it?
If it would replace, so I have a subscription to ChatGPT. That's the only one I'm willing to pay for. I'm not going to pay for two services. So it would have to be better than ChatGPT to get me to switch. And ChatGPT has a great Mac app. I find that really useful for basic spreadsheet work and proofreading, things like that. So if it's able to do that for me just as well or better, then maybe. But I don't know if it's going to be there. Yes, I mean, it might not be, it wouldn't surprise me if they introduce this with iOS 27 and it's free until the release of iOS 28. And at that point, it's caught up so much and starts to have its own capabilities, like a lot more on-device processing that ChatGPT is not able to do, that then they can justify starting to charge. But I just can't see that happening out of the gate.
Yeah, I mean, I could see it being, what if it's close enough? What if it's like just as good? You just can't see that either, though.
Maybe. I don't know. I think it's difficult when you're very used to using a tool, to change to something different, and there will inevitably be differences. So even take something like image generation or image editing. Is the Apple version going to be just as good as ChatGPT? Is it going to be just as good as Gemini? Is it going to just use Gemini's version? If it does use Gemini's version, is it going to always use Gemini's latest version of image generation? Or does Apple have to approve it first? Because this is all going to add some weight and some delay. And why would I pay for that?
I think it's got to be because of the integration, because it's going to be across all of your stock apps use. That's the thing that would get me. Otherwise, you're right. There's no reason to. So why switch? That just becomes a whole issue. But if I'm going to have it be throughout my entire operating system, and it's like, you know, I'm looking at the health app and it was like, hey, you asked me this question last week. Like, how are you feel? Like, you know, did you need any more information about, like, it just knows what you've been doing, which is creepy, but also like, that's where the convenience comes in. It knows that you've been doing these things and it can integrate itself into the apps. Maybe it saw that you read a time-sensitive email and you asked about it in ChatGPT to do some kind of action, and it automatically adds it to the Reminders app and puts a thing on your calendar. Like, it just doing all of those things is where it's going to make its money, in my opinion. And so if it can, maybe it's not as fast or as good as ChatGPT right out of the gate, but it's really good at integrating, then that's like, okay, well, I've got to see which one's going to be more useful for me.
I think that's a good point. It's got to be the personalized features. And this is what Apple recognized right back at the beginning, would be able to set it apart more than anything else. Because ultimately, Apple controls the hardware. That's the device that you go out and buy. Mm-hmm. So I guess we'll see.
Yeah. Anything else on this whole thing? I mean, this makes iOS 27 not kind of feel like a little bit of a lame duck. I kind of thought it was going to be like last year was a pretty big year. We got a full redesign and we got a bunch of new things. This year it's like, okay, maybe you're not getting a bunch of new visual things, but you're going to get some good new features. And obviously a new chatbot's going to take over the entire conversation through the entirety of the event is what I imagine. So
it looks like this will be the year of Apple intelligence. And I imagine that if Apple really is proud of what it's got, it will, after last year when it was kind of noticeably absent, they did mention, you know, that you could access foundation models locally in the Shortcuts app and things like that. But it was a real kind of step back from the year before, where that was the big headline new thing. If this year they lead with Apple intelligence, I think I think there will be a lot of enthusiasm, and I think people would really rally behind it. And it would probably even just be good for Apple's morale in terms of its internal developers and staff to really see that, okay, they finally got something that is worth standing by and something that they must be confident they can deliver.
I know we got App Intents, was that last year? Or, yeah, 25. And like the ability to create these shortcuts using all of that. And has it gotten to the point where we imagined it would be, or what we were hoping for, where it's, because I have not, I'll admit, gone into this yet. I just haven't looked at it and messed around with it yet. But has it gotten to the point where I can just ask Siri or, just kind of type out, like, I want my, I want certain things to do. I walk into my house, I want my lights to turn on, I want it to send a notification at this specific time that I arrived home to my wife, and, put some music on, for this specific period. Has it gotten to that point where I can just ask Siri to do that? Or are we hoping that this is where we're going to get into?
I think that's what you should, in theory, be able to get with 26.4. Because App Intents have been around for years.
It's what the new thing that they introduced last year.
And you can access App Intents via Siri in a lot of instances, because App Intents are what I believe power the pre-made shortcuts that appear in the shortcuts app from your third-party apps. And so you can access those because they are shortcuts via Siri, which is what enables you to make some Siri commands to third-party apps without having had to set anything up in shortcuts. So it is there right now, but I mean, I'd be impressed if it worked a lot of the time. It does sometimes work for me. So with things like if I ask it to play an audiobook in Audible, Siri understands that. And I believe it's doing that through App Intents. But there's no way that if I made that command more complicated, it would understand.
So where I'm getting at is, I know that stuff has been there and they're iterating on it. What I'm getting at is, when are we going to, you're saying 26.4, we're going to get to the point where I can say, I can ask Siri to create this shortcut or create this routine.
I don't know.
That's what I want, because I know you can go and do it right now. I just don't want to spend the time to do that right now. And I feel, and I would imagine that most average, like this is where I'm not like a crazy, I cover tech for a living. I would say I'm obviously a tech enthusiast, but this is where I get to the point where I'm out. I don't want to spend the time to do that right now.
Because a lot of that depends on third party adoption of App Intents. So if an app just does not build many App Intents, if it only builds one App Intent to do one thing like open search in that app, that's not very helpful. And that is not going to unlock anything with Siri. That's really up to third-party developers. And multi-stage actions is not something that Siri handles very well at all, if barely at all.
It doesn't really do it at all. But that's what I'm saying. Like, can we get to that point now? Because we should be using Gemini. Gemini can do multiple actions. So in theory, this should all come together. So maybe this would be another huge step. That's something that I think you can really showcase at WWDC and whenever they unveil this smart hub, because that's where it's going to be the most useful.
I imagine that's going to come with 26.4. I don't think they're going to have a huge amount to show off with 26.4, but I think that will be one of the things that they will show, because that was part of that original demo where there was that inquiry made about someone's flight and it checked the calendar and checked messages. And that was in theory like a multi-stage action, and Siri did it all from start to finish. That was all based on App Intents and an ability to like read messages and read calendar. So I imagine that is what we will get. And then this can take off a little bit more with.
And I think it will take off, because you're saying there's not, not a lot of apps, maybe not a lot of apps and developers are making App Intents for their apps because Siri is kind of garbage right now. But if it's not garbage, then it kind of drives more, drive to the people who are developing to make this for their apps. It would just make more sense. You would use the apps more.
I agree.
All right, cool. Well, that is, Siri and its latest news. It's a lot of news. So definitely head over to MacRumors.com. We have a bunch of articles. You can catch up more. I think I'm making a video on all of this too, so feel free to check that out, and we'll catch everybody in next week's episode.